From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain Daily. I'm Tori Maguire and it is Friday, June 26. The global aviation industry has been decimated by the coronavirus crisis, and Australia's flagship airline has not been spared the pain. Yesterday, Qantas Chief Executive Alan Joyce announced the company had no choice but to cut 20% of its workforce, as the airline will not resume any significant international flying for at least a year. The decision to sack 6,000 people is part of a three-year plan to cut $15 billion in costs and kickstart recovery from the pandemic. I'm joined now by business reporter Patrick Hatch. Pat Hatch, thanks so much for joining me again on Please Explain Daily. It is a big day in your round today. Let's start with Qantas. Yesterday, Alan Joyce announced 6,000 jobs would go and asked the federal government to extend some kind of wage supplement to the company, and also said that we wouldn't be flying anywhere internationally on Qantas for at least another year. It feels like the coronavirus hits just keep on coming.
Absolutely. For a lot of people, I think this announcement was a matter of when, if not if. If you look around the world, all major airlines have laid off around 20 to 30% of their workforces. That's what Air New Zealand has done and British Airways. So it really was expected. But of course, that doesn't make it any easier for the 6,000 people at Qantas who will be losing their jobs. As for the recovery, I think for a lot of people, what Alan Joyce was talking about yesterday really brought home the severity of the impact of the coronavirus crisis. The fact that it doesn't expect to be doing any meaningful amount of flying for another 12 months, and that even in the year after that, they're probably only going to be operating about 50% of what they were flying internationally before the pandemic. So it was a reality check for a lot of people.
Beneath the headlines of the job cuts and the sort of grounding of Australians here, what are some of the other things that they're doing to manage through this? What does it mean for things like plane acquisitions and even where they store them?
There's a lot of work, obviously, that's gone on behind this plan. They're talking about a three-year plan to cut about $15 billion of costs out of the business just to survive through this crisis. So they're putting plane orders on hold. They had some Boeing Dreamliners that were supposed to arrive. They've pushed that back. They've immediately retired their six remaining Boeing 747s. They were going to retire soon anyway, but they're right out of the fleet. And also they're taking all 12 of its A380s, the big super jumbos, and they're going to park them in the desert in California for at least 3 years. So there's a very high chance that those planes won't ever return to service.
It's an extraordinary effort to try and manage it through. Is it going to be enough, or are we going to keep getting announcements from Qantas over the next year of other huge measures?
Talking to people in market circles, the impression is that Qantas has decided to rip the Band-Aid off, if you like, and do this in one big hit. So they're raising almost $2 billion in fresh equity so they can pay for things like the redundancies. They're going to spend around $600 million on redundancies and do this kind of, sorry about the corporate speak, but restructuring in the airline now in one big go to set it up to see itself through this crisis rather than do it in dribs and drabs. Having said that, that's the plan, but that doesn't take into account things like a potential second wave. There's still a lot of uncertainty around how this pandemic plays out from here, so you can never say never.
Given the enormous hit to their cash flow, Pat, how difficult or not is it for them to do capital raising?
There was quite a lot of appetite out there, so it wasn't an issue for them to get investors to back them. Despite what's happened to it, the investment community still has quite a lot of faith in Qantas, it would seem.
And what's the government's reaction? Because Alan Joyce has been vocal in saying that he wants the government to continue to support, if not the airline industry directly, then at least, you know, the tourism industry beyond the September cutoff of the JobKeeper scheme. Is there any chance of that happening?
There has been some noises out of Canberra that they are looking at some sort of support scheme for the aviation sector specifically. There has been some financial aid in terms of underwriting some domestic flying, which has helped both Qantas and Virgin stand up some workers, get some cash flowing through the business. What Alan Joyce was talking about yesterday specifically was an extension to the JobKeeper program. So most of Qantas's staff are stood down without pay and accessing that scheme. But of course, the end of September, when that scheme ends, there's going to be a big question around what those people even do just to keep the lights on. Qantas was saying by the end of this year, there'll still be around 7,000 workers who will still be stood down without pay. Qantas can't expect them to just go without work, go without pay for that whole period. They're going to go and find other jobs or just quit. So there needs to be some sort of mechanism to tie them over while aviation recovers, while they wait for Qantas to be able to have work for them to do again.
What does all this mean for Alan Joyce? Because he's been the Qantas CEO for quite some time now. He could possibly be wishing he'd retired 6 months ago. This is a three-year plan. Is he sort of stuck with carrying this through?
Yes, so the Qantas board yesterday said that it had asked Alan to stay on for another year, so through to the end of 2023, just to steady the ship through this process, to have an experienced hand. And yes, by the end of that, he will have been running the airline for an extraordinary 15 years. And during that period, he's been through a few crises. He was through the GFC. He infamously grounded the airline in 2011. So I think the impression is that it's better to have an old hand steering the ship through this crisis.
What's his demeanour and rhetoric been like about having to make these decisions? Is he projecting an air of sort of this will get us through, or is it more grim than that?
I don't think he in any way underplayed the severity of the situation they were in. He made all the motherhood statements that you expect corporate leaders to make when they're laying off thousands of people. Having said that, at the start of this crisis, he was very bullish, and he made the comment that it would be a matter of the survival of the fittest among airlines. He quite famously said that just a few weeks before Virgin Australia collapsed and went bankrupt. It wasn't particularly well received in some quarters, I don't think. What he and the rest of his leadership team are actually thinking, I don't know. But certainly, you know, as you'd expect, the message that they're trying to project is that, you know, these times are tough, but they have the plan to get through it in one piece.
Well, speaking of Virgin, there's big news in the attempted rescue of that airline this morning.
Absolutely. This is the story that keeps on giving. So as a bit of background, the race to buy Virgin and relaunch it out of administration had narrowed to two bidders, Bain Capital, they're a big private equity firm from the States, and a crew called Cyrus. It's also a private equity firm, and it's got a bit of a history in investing in airlines alongside Richard Branson. So they helped to launch Virgin America. It became apparent that Bain had the upper hand, really. This morning, Cyrus released quite an extraordinary statement saying that it was withdrawing its bid because Deloitte was essentially ignoring him. So Deloitte is the administrator. Cyrus said they put in their offer. They more or less never heard back. So they were very angry that they'd been frozen out of this sale process. So we haven't heard from Deloitte yet to see what they say to that. But at this stage, at least the formal sale process would appear to be in Bain's hands. Having said that, there's still a lot that could upend that. So Virgin's bondholders, who are owed about $2 billion, they've been manoeuvring and want to present an alternative deal that would see them take control of the airline. Cyrus says it could come back and reinstate its bid if Deloitte changes the way it's treating it.
So what does the Bain plan for Virgin look like?
We don't have the nitty-gritty details yet. What they have said is that they want to keep Virgin as a sort of a hybrid airline positioned somewhere between Qantas and Jetstar. So, you know, not a budget airline exactly, but also not really bothering to try and steal those top-end corporate clients from Qantas. There absolutely will be job cuts. We don't know how many. It's also very likely that they'll shrink the network and fly to fewer places. But again, the nitty-gritty details, we just don't know.
Are you getting any sense of the attitude of the staff to the Bain bid?
So from the very start of this process, there was a lot of apprehension from some of the unions which represent Virgin's workers. Bain has a reputation as a private equity firm that, you know, buys struggling businesses, sort of slashes and burns, fires people, and then sells the company after 5 years at a profit. That's the stereotypical way of describing what Bain does. So that obviously made a lot of workers nervous, and especially compared to Cyrus, which has this history of successfully investing in airlines in the long term. So understandably, some of the unions were backing Cyrus. Some even went public with that support. But if Cyrus appears to be on the outer, there may need to be some sort of reconciliation between the unions and Bain from this point.
So Pat, just finally, what's the time frame on when a deal may or may not be done?
So today, after we've learnt that Bain will be in the box seat, that Deloitte will put forward Bain as their preferred bidder, in mid-August, they will put their proposal to a vote of Virgin's creditors in mid-August. So the creditors, everyone who's owed money, which includes around 9,000 workers who are owed wages and other entitlements. They'll get to vote on their proposal to see if it can go through.
Well, Pat, I better let you get back to the pile of developments that are coming at you thick and fast today. Thanks so much for joining me again on Please Explain Daily.
Thanks, Tori.
Today's episode of Please Explain was produced by Yuji Shimada and Amelia Maguire. The journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team from The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald work tirelessly to cover the news that matters. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or buy our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search Subscribe, The Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.